Well, this is a familiar story. Jesus has been ministering and teaching various people in the previous chapter that we've been looking at. A widow, a judge, a Pharisee, a tax collector, his own followers, and last but not least, parents and their children. How would you feel if you had been waiting patiently, I assume patiently, to see Jesus, and he now starts talking with children? But children are the least of your worries. The crowd is about to get asked a question. Do you have an answer for it, which will determine your eternal future? Are you ready to answer such a question? Clearly, there were some in the crowd that day who were not ready to give an answer. And a rich ruler thought he knew the answer, but did not. Don't worry, there are others yet to come as well. In an interview upon the death of actor Robert Redford, an interviewer posed the question, "I wonder what comes next. I wonder what comes next." For the Christian, we know what comes next. After death, we know. The Bible tells us it is appointed for man to die once and then face the judgment. And we can be thankful that that one, Jesus Christ, has faced the judgment for us. Perhaps the incident is best summarized in the following way with the question, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Or what must I do to get to heaven? And I marvel at how God has put the Bible together. Jesus has just reminded his own followers of how to get into the kingdom of God. And if they don't follow those instructions, they never will enter. And we also are left wondering why this nice young man, rich man at that, appears to be doing everything right and yet is going to miss out on a seat in the kingdom of heaven. When he appears that, you know, he's doing everything right, everything correct. And along comes this wealthy ruler asking the very same question Jesus just answered his followers with. And his followers are thinking, surely this ruler, he's rich, he's young, surely he will get into heaven with what he's done. For to him to have obtained his wealth, it was common knowledge that God was blessing him somehow. Perhaps he's a young entrepreneur who made his wealth in IT or the last economic boom. But he comes to Jesus with a serious question, which all of us are going to have to answer. Not just the rich young ruler, but all of us will need to answer that question. What must I do to inherit eternal life? He's come to the right person for the answer in seeking that answer there. I suspect that when the rich ruler came to Jesus, the crowd that gathered there, they already knew who that ruler was. Look at the language there. A certain ruler asked Jesus. They knew who the certain ruler was. He was there right in the crowd. He was wanting to show off, just as he was in front of the crowd there, in front of his disciples and in front of Jesus. He wanted to show off his knowledge. He did not say it out loud, but he was saying, look at how good I am. I'm a sure thing for heaven. Have you come across people like that? They think they're right, they're ready. There's very little humility with them. It's all about having the focus on them. Is it any wonder that in the previous section, Jesus instructed his disciples that anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it? That's strong language. Will never enter it. There was little humbleness with this ruler, and they all knew who Jesus was talking about, even though no names were mentioned at the time. Some members of the crowd had suffered at the hands of this ruler, whether they be Jewish or Roman rulers. But let us look closely at the rich ruler. He asks a very important question, one which anyone here who has breath should be asking themselves as well, or family members, or friends, or acquaintances. Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life? There's something a little odd with the question being asked. What must I do? What must I do? I'm going to disappoint you, but there is nothing you can do. Put your trust in what Jesus has done. In a previous congregation, the congregation received a very large inheritance of a substantial sum of money from an estate. And the congregation had done nothing to deserve the inheritance. You might be a son or daughter, and you've received an inheritance from the family estate. You received the inheritance, but you have done nothing to deserve it, simply because you are part of that family. That's why you receive it. The Apostle Paul was leaning that way when he wrote to the church in Philippi, "If anyone thinks he has reasons to put confidence in the flesh, I have more. I was circumcised on the eighth day of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, in regard to the law, a Pharisee. As for zeal, persecuting the church. As for legalistic righteousness, faultless. But whatever was to my profit, I consider it loss for the sake of Christ." Can you imagine for a moment what it must have felt like for Paul to live your whole life up until this point, and at some point wake up and discover that you've lived your whole life according to a lie? I know people who get quite angry when they discover the simple gospel: Jesus died for my sins. You might want to think about that, the simple gospel. The rich ruler is thinking, well, I'm a son of Abraham. I'm right. I deserve the inheritance of eternal life. Is that how one inherits eternal life? Certainly the rich ruler, who was apparently young, and you look at the other gospel accounts, you pick all that up. Not only is there a question of how one inherits, there is another question forming in these verses. So let's press on. What is Jesus' initial response? "Why do you call me good?" Jesus answered, "No one is good except God alone. You know the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not murder. Do not steal. Do not give false testimony. Honor your father and mother. All these I have kept since I was a boy," he said. Was the rich young ruler being sincere in his response to Jesus? Was he fair dinkum in wanting to ask that question? Was he some kind of smart aleck? Was he showing off? Think about his response for a moment. He has kept the commandments since he was a boy. We won't debate the age of accountability, although it is a debate that I think our society needs to have. We won't debate the age of accountability here, although that is that debate we should have, though. Since he was 12, this young man has kept the commandments. How would you or I fare in keeping these commands? When was the last time you looked at a woman or man lustfully? When was the last time you told a lie? I'm not going to ask you to stand up and say, "Yes, I told a lie." When was the last time? "Oh, it's only a little lie," you say. A lie is a lie, no matter the size. When was the last time you stole? You stole time from your employer, from your boss. When was the last time you killed someone with your words? You slandered someone. To slander someone, you act with malice towards them. All these I have kept since I was a boy. That's a strong thing to be able to say. All these I have kept since I was a boy. One would think that if he's kept the commandments, all these commandments since I was a boy, you would think, well, he's right. He'll get into heaven, he'll inherit the kingdom of God. But not according to Jesus' response. You still lack one thing. What is it that he still lacks? Anyone want to hazard a guess what he lacks? He lacks one very important command, love of God. That's what he misses out on. The rich ruler kept the commandments, but only half of them. Do not commit adultery, do not murder, do not steal, do not give false testimony, honour your father and mother. Yes, he had done all them, but there was one very important one he missed, and that is love for God. Love for God. And Jesus would say this to the followers in Galilee, that the rich ruler has neglected the most important one, love for God. The rich ruler has kept the latter commands of such a do not steal, do not covet, do not lie. But what's he done with love your Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind? What has he done with that one? He hasn't got it. He hasn't got it. The rich ruler has only managed to keep some of the commands, but not all of them, as he had indicated to Jesus. What he lacked was the love for God, a complete and total love for God. The rich ruler may have been a very good person, was probably very nice, but he lacked that one, the love for God, which the first commandment would have shown. We will come across very good and very nice people. We'll find them in our families, in our workplaces, in our sporting people, in our golfing friends, in our school friends. And you're probably thinking of some names right now of very nice and good people. Sadly, Jesus tells them they will not be in the kingdom. And why won't very nice and very good people be in the kingdom? For in the same reason the rich ruler will not be in the kingdom. They have no love for God, as he has revealed himself in Jesus. It is sad that what is keeping the rich ruler out and others is they have no love for God. If you want to discuss that, come and see me after the service. Yes, that they do love, don't forget that, and they can be quite passionate about what they love. I mean, where were 99,000 people on Friday night? They were passionate. It was a pity that a certain team didn't get up there, but anyway. The rich ruler has kept the commandments, but only some of them. The rich ruler has kept the latter commands. He may have been very nice, very good, but that doesn't cut it when it gets into heaven. We'll come across very good, very nice people all the time. Yes, they do love, and they can be quite passionate in what they love, whether they be their wealth or their ruler or their car or their food or their football even. What is it that you love more than anything else? For in the rich ruler, it is his wealth. Jesus correctly summed up the rich ruler's addiction to wealth. Jesus said of this young man, when Jesus heard it, he said this to him, Jesus' heart would have been breaking over this man. He had everything going for him, and yet Jesus said to him, you still lack one thing. Sell everything you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come and follow me." When he said this, he became very sad, because he was a man of great wealth. For whatever reason, the young ruler was not prepared to let go of what he presumed to be his. The rich ruler was not prepared to let go of his wealth. Go back in time to the patriarchs, to the time of Abraham. God asked Abraham to take his son Isaac and go up on a mountain and make a sacrifice. As the incident unfolds, as though it was commonplace to make a sacrifice. The point for us, it was very dear to him, his only son, Isaac. Abraham was prepared to let go and leave it to God. Then we have Jesus. God was prepared to let his own son, his begotten son, dear to him, let go of him in order to save people for himself. The rich ruler was asked to go of what was dear to him in order to gain something far greater, an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. Jesus looked at him and said, "How hard it is for the rich to enter the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God. Indeed, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God." You can imagine the question behind that. A camel cannot go through the eye of a needle, but it can. What's possible for God might be impossible for us. There's also the idea that one of the gates into Jerusalem through the city walls was the eye of the needle gate. And if you went through that gate, you had to unload your camel in order to get through that gate. This rich ruler was not about to unload his wealth. He wanted to keep it. What then did Jesus mean? In these verses we could look at instructions that Christians have a responsibility to look after their family members is definite. Instruction that we are to enjoy the wealth that God sends our way. Ecclesiastes 5:9-19. When God gives any man wealth and possessions, enables him to enjoy them, to accept his lot and be happy in his work. This is the gift of God. It's one for the rich ruler. Whoever loves money never has enough money. Whoever loves wealth is never satisfied with his income. That too is meaningless. Ecclesiastes 5, verse 10. If we're not meant to be poor, then is Jesus asking the rich ruler, get your priorities in order. Are you going to love me more than anything else in the world? Are you? Let us get to the side. Don't be sidetracked on what this encounter is with the rich ruler is about. The young ruler, rich ruler, has come to Jesus with a simple request. What must I do to inherit a place in the kingdom? What must I do to have a place in heaven? Jesus has told this young man the truth. You want to inherit eternal life? Then be prepared to give up everything you have in order to have treasure in heaven. Jesus answered would have left the young man devastated. Indeed, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for the rich man to enter the kingdom of God. The needle gate saw a camel unload. If we are to enter the kingdom, we need to unload what prevents us from entering. For us, the rich man, Jesus asked him to unload his wealth. Those who heard this asked, well, who can be saved? Jesus replied, what is impossible for men is possible with God. Peter said to him, Jesus, we have left all we had to follow you. I tell you the truth, Jesus said to them. No one who has left home or wife or brother or sisters or farms for the sake of the kingdom will fail to receive it many times as such in the age to come, eternal life. It's all there. Peter makes a good point with Jesus. You have told this young man to sell all he has. What is there for us then? We too have left all we had. What's in it for us? Peter and Andrew, you've left the fishing business to follow me. James and John, you've left the fishing business to follow me. Matthew, you left the lucrative taxation firm to follow me. What are the priorities are revealed in when we say that? Are we prepared to let go of our life for the furtherance of the kingdom? What is holding us back from wholeheartedly following Jesus? Is there something we need to sell, as Jesus challenged the rich ruler? Is there something we need to let go of in our lives? I remember a conversation I had with Lil's mum not long after getting into Canada. And she talked about the farms that I had left. And she said, look up the Bible and see what it says there. And of course, there's the passage in these passages come out that it has to do with the fact that we've got that there for us, that Jesus is telling his followers, what you have left, I will more than double or triple what you have left behind. And we need to remember that. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we give you thanks for what you have done for us in Jesus. Help us, Lord, to unload those things that are holding us back. And we pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen.